Grandpa's Great Escape, written by Kevin Cecil and David Walliams. An animated Spitfire flies over a London skyline dotted with barrage balloons and German aeroplanes. Tom Courtney, David Walliams, Jennifer Saunders.
Apologies, Herr Hitler. Your bombers won't get through tonight.
Under a full moon, Grandpa's on the roof in his dressing gown, pyjamas and slippers.
One down. 17 to go.
Dad. Oh, Dad, where are you? Dad?
Having slammed his brakes on, a man in his nightwear jumps out of his car. Grandpa's on the church roof.
Oh, no.
There's my grandpa. But he wasn't always this confused.
Take this, Jerry!
He was once the Royal Air Force's bravest Spitfire pilot. That was during World War II, but our story takes place 40 years later, in the 1980s. I wasn't like the other kids at school. I didn't want a Rubik's Cube or a mullet. I was happiest with my World War II model planes from Grandpa's stories. The best day of the week was always Saturday. That was the day that me and my sister Shelley would see Grandpa. If we were really lucky, he would take us to the War Museum.
It was him or me. I pressed on my machine guns. The air was filled with bullets, smoke, fire. I'd hit my first Messerschmitt. The Luftwaffe pilot, he parachuted down. I let him be.
Then it was back to base, and Grandpa would take us on a top secret mission.
Right, off we go. Can it be secure?
Check.
Fuel gauge on full.
Check.
Up, up, and away!
The young boy, Jack, and his sister Shelley stretched their arms out just like Grandpa to fly.
It was the happiest of times.
Up, up, and away.
But times changed. Grandpa became more forgetful.
In the kitchen,
he'd forget he'd made a cup of tea and make another one. So I tried to help. Every week I got his shopping.
Grandpa grabs a new bottle of Sudsy washing up liquid, then fills a glass and looks at it as if it was a fine wine. Jack's shocked when he realizes he's taken a drink.
Waiter, this is court.
In spite of his medication, Grandpa wasn't getting any better. In fact, he was getting worse.
Morning, Grandpa. Time for your doctor's appointment.
We'll just wait for Peggy. My dear wife, Peggy. Just getting ready. She won't be a minute.
Peggy's not here, Grandpa. She died during the war.
Is she? Mm. My darling Peggy.
Jack regards his confused grandpa with sadness.
It's okay, Grandpa. I'll look after you.
Jack hurries to him and puts his arms around him.
I wish I could say my family helped with Grandpa, but they had their own things going on. This is my sister. She got older and was only interested in Duran Duran. Mum was a high roller in the beauty business.
Avon calling!
Dad worked for the council. He always claimed he was head of road maintenance. But Mum said he was in charge of traffic cones. It certainly was his favourite topic of conversation.
So, guess where traffic cones were first used in the UK?
Nobody cares, Barry.
No, the correct answer is the M6.
Occasionally, it was like it used to be.
How fast is that Spitfire going, Grandpa?
Top speed, 360 miles an hour, near enough. I'd give anything, anything, to fly one again.
The funny thing was, Grandpa wasn't confused when he talked about the war. And that gave me an idea.
Good morning, Wing Commander.
Squadron Leader.
The medical officer wants to know if you've had your energy pills today.
Righty-ho, down the hatch.
I just pretend the war was still on.
Anything further from Air Command?
They want us to keep physically fit for the coming battle. kick about in the park?
Good call.
Which was fine when it was just Grandpa and me, but harder with all the family.
Now, the story behind making chocolate cones orange is a fascinating one.
This tea's off.
That's gravy, Dad.
Dad, you're not my son. My son's a little baby. Whatever next?
He's got worse. Much worse. He'd be best off in a...
He isn't a home, Mum. His home. And he's happy there.
He's drinking from the gravy boat, Jack. The gravy boat.
Wing Commander.
Squad Leader.
You're in the mess hall. And the char lady...
I beg your pardon?
...has just served up your rations.
Oh, so jolly good.
I don't know if you should be pretending it's the war, Jack. What if he attacks that nice German lady who works in bee jams?
This food is diabolical.
Then we can have the char lady taken out and shot.
I'm trying to help.
So we tried to play along, and that worked out for a while, until one night, Dad found Grandpa sitting on the church roof.
In a public payphone box...
Love, he's on the church roof this time.
I don't know how he got up there.
There's only one person who can get him down.
You are joking. This is a saga now.
We need Jack. You know how close he is to his grandpa.
It's too late. Jack's got a geography test tomorrow and I've got a ton of makeup to shift. Or do you want a garage full of unsold Bucks Fizz eyeshadow?
I'm going to help Grandpa, Mum. It's up to you if you come or not.
Well, let me get this off first.
Come on, Mum.
A bright green car pulls up. Then a red-haired lad in high-top trainers gets out with Shelley.
What time do you call this?
Mum, stop ruining everything for me.
We will have words later, young lady.
You Shelley's sister?
No, silly, I'm a mum. But I know, I look young for my age. And you must be?
Dazza. But I do often get mistaken for Simon Le Bon.
Oh, yeah, I bet you do.
Mum.
I want you in bed in 1 minute.
Good night, Mrs. Shelley's mum.
I can see you.
Dad's still watching Grandpa on the church roof when Jack and Mum arrive.
He's gone completely cuckoo.
Oh, Jack, help him, please.
What in Sir Peter's name is going on here?
A bespectacled vicar.
Get down off my roof, you vandal!
Think you're a good shot, eh? We'll see about that.
My father gets a little confused sometimes.
Oh, confused? He's certifiable. What if he falls off? I don't want to spend my morning scooping him up.
You want us to fetch the air rifle, right?
Yeah, that'll bring him down.
Yeah, that worked for the pigeons, didn't it?
No, please, just wait. Wing Commander, this is base. Over.
Well, this is Wing Commander. Reading you loud and clear.
Your mission has been a great success. Return to base.
Roger that.
Silhouetted against a bright full moon, Grandpa walks along the ridge of the roof, then shins down a drainpipe.
Hang on. He's gonna fall.
He jumps to the ground. Grandpa joins them.
Fall out, men.
Wing Commander, let me escort you to your transport. There's drinks in the officer's mess.
Yeah, just the job, Squad Leader.
Oh, no.
No, fine. Shouldn't have eaten that pickled egg.
Also, I do bring a lot of comfort to the old and the infirm of the parish. I'd have to help if I could.
We just want what's best for us. I mean, him.
Yeah. I mean, there is the most wonderful care home nearby. Twilight Towers.
I don't think you'd like that.
Oh, no, it's heavenly. It's like Disneyland for coffin dodgers.
Grandpa's not going in our home.
Yeah, trouble is, it's very often very, very full.
What a shame.
But then I have a very good relationship with Miss Dandy, what runs Twilight Towers. She just might be able to squeeze him in.
Perfect.
No!
Well, we need to discuss this as a family first.
Might be too late, but yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you take with you this colour brochure of Twilight Towers? And this is for you, boy. You say it's a little gonk. It's got googly eyes. Just like your grin.
Good night.
Oh, good night. God bless you. God bless you, obviously.
Daytime, and Mum's reading the Twilight Towers brochure.
It looks lovely. It's more like a hotel than somewhere you get put to die.
Charlady, this is the worst roast beef I have ever tasted.
It's not roast beef, it's fish pie. And for the last time, I'm not your Charlady. Your son has something to tell you.
We had a new order of traffic cones in. They're reflective.
Barry!
Now, you know we all love you very much. But the thing is, it...
Spit it out, Em, and choppity chop.
After what happened last week, we thought it might be best if...
If you came here to live with us.
You what?
He could share my bedroom.
Well, we can't cope with him here.
Well, it's not a bad idea.
He better not hog the bathroom. It takes me ages to creep my hair in the morning.
I'm sorry, but...
I accept, though the catering had better improve.
I'll tell the char lady.
Later, above a parade of shops, Grandpa's in his flat.
Where am I going again?
Our house, Dad. You're coming to live with us.
On a trial basis.
I live... Yeah, Peggy won't know where I've got to.
Son?
Wing Commander, due to enemy activity, the Air Commander wants you to lodge at alternative quarters.
Why didn't they just say?
Mum's filling a bin bag.
Charity shop, sale. Rubbish.
An old toffee tin.
This is not rubbish.
Wing Commander, let me take you to the tuck shop.
Oh, jolly good.
In the newsagents below...
Aha! My two favourite customers, Mr. Bunting and Master Bunting.
It's Bunting.
Bunting, like I said.
Hello there, Quartermaster.
I have very special offer for today. 15 cans of... Quattro. For the price of 14?
No thanks.
What has a hazelnut in every bite? Topping! Or any of these other bars which melted in the window with it?
But I'm quite partial to a Smartie.
Those I have. Both. Traditional and limited edition green ones. Really, they are moldy rebels.
Standard issue will be fine.
You'll find them under the puzzle magazines next to the correcting fluid.
Grandpa steps away.
You look troubled, Master Bunting.
Grandpa's coming to live with us.
Splendid.
I worry about whether it'll work out.
Do not fret. Indian families always take in the older generation. It works without fail. Even when Auntie Pia sings Wham Rap at the top of her voice when I'm trying to watch the snooker.
Either Grandpa comes to live with us, or he'll be sent to Twilight Towers.
Oh, no.
What?
No. I've heard very bad things about Twilight Towers.
What?
They say the only way out of that place is... in a coffin.
Boy George is singing on the TV. Do you really want
to hurt me? What a fine-looking woman.
We can't leave him in the house on his own.
No.
What are we going to do? Tomorrow's the launch of the Country Diary of an Edwardian Lady Roll-On deodorant.
Well, I've got a really big day at work tomorrow. I've got to test all the new traffic cones. Have I ever told you how I judge them?
Many times.
Durability, colour, attractive shape.
Why did I marry you? Jack, you're going on a school trip tomorrow?
Yep.
Well, you have to take Grandpa with you. Where are you going?
War Museum.
Perfect.
You can take him along. He loves a bit of war.
From bunk beds.
Fine replicas, Squan Leader.
I wish they were real.
The Spitfire's like nothing else. You can turn on a sixpence.
Grandpa, when you...
Hush, we need to listen out for enemy aircraft.
That's Shelley's stupid boyfriend, Dazza. Mum, I mean the Air Commander, says lights out by 9.
I hope you don't snore. I can't abide snorers.
I don't think I do.
Well, good night, Squan Leader. Thank you for sharing your quarters. Very decent of you.
Glad to help, sir. Good night.
As soon as Jack turns off the light, Grandpa snores. Jack smiles to himself, then reaches for a torch. He shines it over his model of a Spitfire that hangs from the ceiling, making its shadow move across the wall opposite. Now it's daytime. A coach pulls up outside the National War Museum. On board, all the pupils are playing with Rubik's cubes, except Jack, who's playing cards with Grandpa.
Right, everyone! Rubik's cubes down! Eyes up, looking! Looking! I want to remind everyone that this is an educational trip. We will not have a repeat of the tomfoolery at the zoo. I don't want to find a live penguin in Gavin Macy's rucksack. Got that? Good. You're not in year six. Why are you here?
He's my grandpa, miss.
Yeah, I can surmise that.
He was a Spitfire pilot in the war.
Well, if he promises to be educational, he can come.
Thank you, miss.
Now, everyone has a questionnaire. And nobody is allowed in the gift shop until it has been filled out. And that is a fact. Am I clear?
Yes, Miss Verity.
Good. And here's yours, Coach Driver. Neat his handwriting, please. Right, everyone off, please. No talking, no laughing, no dawdling.
Inside the museum...
Oi, you lot. Don't climb on the tanks.
I've been here before.
Yes, you have, many times. You took me, Grandpa, do you remember?
What's my Spitfire doing hanging from the ceiling?
What's wrong with your granddad?
Nothing.
These pilots are very young.
New recruits.
I see.
The class moved to an information board with their questionnaires.
How are you getting on? Are you stuck?
Stupid answers, not on the stupid board.
I can help you with that. I was there. You see, the Nazis wanted to bomb the life out of us so they could invade and take us over. Herr Hitler sent huge squadrons of Junkers and Messerschmitts over the coast. The sky was black with them. RAF pilots had to stop the Nazi bombers from getting through. We were young and frightened, not that much older than you are. My squadron was the first to be scrambled, up and away. I pushed my Spitfire past 300 miles an hour.
Whoa.
You see, they outnumbered us. Oh, 4-1. So to stand any chance, we had to get above them before they got here. We waited up there until the enemy was so close we could see the swastikas on their tails, and then I gave the order. Dive!
When did all this happen, exactly?
Sorry.
The children need dates for the exam. Facts, facts, and more facts. Facts are all that matter.
Oh, well, it was, last Monday.
I hardly think so.
No, sorry, I tell a lie. Last Sunday.
All right, settle down, everyone. The Battle of Britain was not last Sunday. It took place between July and October 1940. Make a note of that, class.
That's what I'm saying.
Jack, I'm sure your grandfather means well, but he is a very old and confused man. Hey, maybe he did do something during the war, but I very much doubt that he was a Spitfire pilot.
He was.
Can I have a word in private?
When Jack goes to join Miss Verity, a downcast grandpa turns away.
Your grandpa grandfather is not welcome on any more school trips.
But, miss...
That is a fact. Right, class, this way, please. Turn to question 98 in your...
The class move on, leaving Jack standing alone.
Grandpa? Grandpa!
Up here, squadron leader.
In the Spitfire.
What are you doing up there?
Looking for my logbook. I wanted to prove that awful woman wrong. It's wonderful to be back in my plane again. They wouldn't mind if I took her for a spin, would they?
I think they might.
Oi, what are you playing at?
Look out, it's the SS.
The security guard fumbles for his radio.
Repeat, code man in a plane.
Take him down, squadron leader. I'll make a break for it.
I can't take him down. He's ginormous.
That is really hurtful.
Grandpa climbs out and ends up dangling from a propeller blade. The guard jumps up and grabs hold of his trouser legs.
Jack, you tell your grandfather to come down this
instant.
You'll fire my face.
Run for it.
As Jack and Grandpa scarper, two more guards join the first and give chase. They don't notice Jack and Grandpa with Union flags pretending to be mannequins in a display. When the coast's clear, they put their helmet and cap back on the real mannequins, then run off, tipping a jar of marbles off the shop counter onto the floor, where the guards slip on them. Two police cars arrive outside.
Sugar.
We've been sat here waiting for ages.
Yeah. Classic Gestapo mind games. Prisoner of war camp for me. As long as it's not cold, it's...
I won't let them take you away. Yeah.
Sorry I haven't let you down, old chap.
You didn't. And you never will. Mum, Dad, you can't let Grandpa be thrown into prison.
What's not up to us? The police told us what happened.
Your grandfather damaged a very valuable plane.
Oh, I don't think there'll be any need for prison. Let me make a call for you, shall I?
Thank you, Reverend.
Oh, we are so pleased to see you.
Hello, Miss Dandy. Yes, yeah, me. I have a gentleman here in desperate need of help. Now, well, I can sort everything here with the duty sergeant at the police station, but might you, as a huge favour to me, be able to squeeze him in to Twilight Towers.
Hold it.
I've just got to find out. Oh, it's coming back as quickly. Oh, you can! Oh, you can! Oh, that's marvellous! You're a lifesaver, Miss Dandy! Thank you. Oh, rejoice, oh, rejoice.
Thank you so much, Vicar. You are a good man.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Anything for my flock.
But...
Would you rather he went to prison, boy? Huh?
Grandpa sits down and looks sadly at Jack. Dazza and Shelley's names are written across Dazza's car windscreen. Inside the house, the family and Dazza are having dinner. Grandpa's not there.
You enjoying your toad in the hole, Dazza?
Oh, delicious, Mrs. Shelley's mum. I think it might be the nicest dinner I've ever had.
Oh, bit OTT.
Dazza opens a bottle.
Is that my beer?
He's our guest, Dad. Can we go and see Grandpa after dinner?
No, Jack. He'll be too busy in his new place. All those baskets to weave.
Shelley tells me you work at the garage.
Yeah. I used to be YTS, but they took me on full-time because an Austin princess fell on Monk Lansom's leg.
Oh, that was a stroke of luck.
So, don't tell me. You must be a model.
But I have been known to grace the cover of the Avon brochure.
Mum?
Oh, you'll have to give me one. I'll stick it on the wall at work next to Linda Lasardi.
Absolutely not. Let me see if I can find you one.
Mum?
All right, Barry, do us a favour.
What?
Get rid of all the traffic cones between my gaff and work.
That would be against the traffic cone code of conduct.
I bet that's interesting reading.
As Dazza opens up his third beer, Dad looks put out.
How do we know if Grandpa's too busy?
He needs a rest, love.
We didn't want to tell you, son, but Grandpa has a weak heart.
But he's going to be all right.
I do kung fu.
How wonderful for you.
Yeah, I'll teach you if you like, Junior. Learn from the master.
No, thanks.
Well, you ever get in trouble, you know where to come. I'm like a kung fu expert. I've seen Enter the Dragon 17 times.
Wow. I've got to go up and do my homework.
Homework? Oh, I never bother with homework. Which I deeply regret, because you should always, always do your homework. You know, unless Knight Rider's on.
He's had three.
Later, wearing a navy blue parka with fur-trimmed hood, Jack pushes his chopper bike along the path at the side of the house, then with a quick look over his shoulder, rides off along the suburban street. He arrives outside an imposing mansion set behind towering metal and wood gates. Jack lays his bike on the ground, beside a sign that says, Twilight Towers, looking after your unwanted old people since 1975, Jack rings the bell. A butch nurse with Blossom on her name badge swings the gate open.
What?
Hello. I was hoping to visit my grandfather.
We're closed for visitors.
Please.
Matron!
A second nurse appears. Then a dandily dressed woman in a fur stole and trilby pushes between them.
Can I help you, boy?
I'm here to visit my grandfather, Mr. Bunting.
Oh, the new arrival. Well, he'll just have had his yummy pills, and now he'll be having his super snooze.
Is he all right? We're really close.
Really? Because he hasn't mentioned you. Nurse Blossom, Nurse Rose, has Mr. Bunting mentioned his grandson at all?
Nah.
No. I think Grandpa's forgotten all about you.
No, he can't have.
A visiting hour's between 3 and 3.15 every alternate Sunday. Until then, kindly bog off.
Nurse Rose closes the gate in Jack's face. Later, at the dining table, Jack hurriedly finishes his dessert and checks his watch.
Right, it's time to go, everyone. Hurry up!
I better cut my Viennetta.
Come on, Shelley, we need to go visit Grandpa.
I'm not coming. I've got to take the charts.
And I need to test this lip line or a next door's cat.
Come on, Mum.
Soon, Barry, Patricia and Jack are in their car, arriving at the gates of Twilight Towers. A butch nurse at the gates watches them with suspicion as they drive past and onto the care home.
Oh, I don't know. Look at all the balloons.
Welcome, welcome.
You having a party today?
Every day is party day at Twilight Towers. Oh, come in and see for yourself.
Jack's parents walk inside, but Jack hesitates. Miss Dandy, who's holding a party balloon, motions for him to go in, and he does so. The residents are mostly slumped in their chairs. The nurses are wearing party hats, and Jack notices that they're pulling on strings to make the old folk appear as if they're moving in time to the music. Jack looks appalled, but Barry and Patricia seem completely unaware of the deception. They're joined by Miss Dandy.
Yes, we do like to give the old folk the very best time. I mean, you can't be sure how much time they've got left. Oh, which reminds me. Did you bring Mr. Bunting's documentation, the passport, the driving licence, the will?
Yes, yes, of course.
Yes. And will you put them in the study with the rest of them, please? Well, what a lovely visit. We'll see you again in 2 weeks.
Where's Grandpa?
He's very, very tired. He didn't want to see you.
I don't believe you.
Nurse Blossom! Will you fetch Mr. Bunting? You're a very demanding boy.
Nurse Rose wheels the sleeping Grandpa over in a wheelchair.
Dad? Dad? Are you there?
We bought you a soap on a rope.
I've got your favourite sweet.
Oh, he's fast asleep, bless.
You sit there, relax.
What have they done to you?
Grandpa opens and closes his eyes quickly.
I think I might take Grandpa out into the garden. The air might perk him up a little bit.
Jack pushes Grandpa outside.
All clear, Wing Commander.
Sorry about that, Squadron Leader. I'll have those now. I had to pretend to be asleep. The guards here in Colditz, they force-feed us sleeping pills.
Miss Dandy looks on as Nurse Rose hands out pills.
We get given them morning and night. Luckily, I managed to hide mine under my moustache. 3 nights ago, I undertook a reconnaissance mission. I saw the Commandant doing something very strange with a pile of papers.
I leave all my worldly goods to...
She must be forging the wills, taking all the money.
Then I found a room with valuables in it. And a number of coffins. Could there be some mysterious connection?
I'm not sure it's that mysterious.
Well, since then, they've increased the patrols.
We have to break you out.
Too right we do, but the trouble is they're suspicious. They've increased my sleeping pill dose as well. My moustache isn't big enough to hide them all. Look, see, they're like sweets. They don't taste as nice.
Then why not take these instead? You could switch them.
Oh, genius!
Raj had a special offer. 11 tubes for the price of 12.
Yes, you're going to have to work on your math, Squadron Leader. No, this is just a ticket.
What else do you need?
Well, any escape attempt requires string. Lots of string.
String?
Do you have a Browning revolver?
No.
Arsenic?
I don't think so.
Flamethrower?
Tricky.
Then just make sure you've plenty of string.
More string. When will we do it?
Well, I've to finish my map, compile a weather report, and I'm halfway through a jigsaw of Big Ben at twilight. Quite a lot of sky to fill in. Tomorrow night? Now, Squadron Leader. Are you sure you volunteer for this mission? It will be dangerous.
I'll be here.
Brave chap.
Ah, there you are. Still nattering, 31 seconds after visiting hours have actually finished. Gramps, you must be exhausted. What you really need now is a very long nap.
See you soon, Dad.
Take care.
Don't worry. I shall be keeping a very close eye on him, day and night.
Jack enters Shelley's bedroom, where she's recording from the radio.
Why wouldn't you come and see Grandpa?
Shut up! You're talking over Duran Duran.
I don't care. Blah, blah, blah. I'm Simon Le Bon, and I've got a stupid French name, even though I'm from Pinner. Why don't you care about Grandpa anymore?
I did care about him. I did.
But he's not Grandpa anymore.
He's someone else. It's scary.
No. He's still Grandpa, and he cares about us like he always did. Even if you don't.
Jack storms off. Shelley looks out of the window and watches Jack setting off up the street on his chopper bike. Jack comes to a stop outside the garage. He sees Dazza inside, working on a car engine, moving in time to the music.
Working 9 to 5, what a way.
Jack looks thoughtful for a moment. Then he lets out a sigh of resolve. He parks his bike near the entrance and steps inside.
You said if I was ever in trouble, you'd teach me kung fu.
Yes, Grasshopper. Listen to the master. So the secret of kung fu is that you have to hit someone as hard as you can and shout kung fu. Kung fu!
So you don't know kung fu? Great. Don't tell Shelley I've been here.
Well, where are you going?
To see Grandpa. But don't tell her that.
Do tell her or don't tell her?
Don't.
Don't do tell her or do don't tell her.
Jack heads back to his bike. Now it's dark, and Jack's outside the closed gates of Twilight Towers. He looks around and goes in search of a way in. He finds a spot where thick ivy has grown up the side of the perimeter wall and is soon climbing up it. He clambers onto the top of the wall and gazes down into the shadows beyond. Clinging to a long vine, he lowers himself down the other side of the wall. The vine breaks and he tumbles to the grass below. A nurse in a watchtower has heard the commotion, and she points a powerful searchlight in Jack's direction, but fails to see him. Jack manages to avoid the beam as it's moved around. Jack hurries towards the care home. He reaches the side of the building and calls up to the roof. Grandpa, meanwhile, is climbing out of a hatch that leads onto the roof. Miss Dandy's in her office, studying a document.
End of my inevitable death. Sole beneficiary. Me.
Grab it!
It's made from...
Lady's knickers. Yes.
Where did you get them all?
Well, they're not mine, if that's what you're trying to say.
Come on!
I'm not going to escape in my pyjamas. The shame.
We don't have long.
Jack steadies the bottom of the improvised rope.
Wing Commander, ready?
Absolutely. Just one little thing.
Grandpa signals to some more old folk who come up out of the hatch.
Orderly fashion, please.
How many people have you got up there?
Not more than 20. I shared out my smarties.
But, Grandpa...
No buts. It's every British prisoner of war's duty to escape.
Right, everybody, who's first?
Could you put the kettle on? I'm parched.
Would anyone like a game of contract whist?
This hatch is too small.
Listen. Excuse me. Is there a powder room in the vicinity?
I beg your pardon?
I wish to visit the lavatorium. I'm desperate for a waz!
You just have to hold it in for a little while, madam, for king and country.
Come on! What are you doing?
There's no need to be irate, dear.
What did he say?
You all have to get down now.
Where are we going again?
Stop barking at us. I can't do it. I can't abide heights.
Well, it's just like riding a bike.
I've never ridden a bike. Perhaps if you could show me.
Very well.
Grandpa follows the other pensioners down the rope.
I didn't mean leave me.
I'd catch you.
Promise.
Absolutely.
Well, in that case, here I come.
Miss Trifle lowers herself down on the rope. Miss Dandy turns and sees her through a window.
You see? Nothing to worry about.
My foot's caught in the gusset.
Oh, dear.
Miss Trifle makes it safely to the ground.
Did she see you?
I think I got away with it.
Miss Dandy and her cronies are on the alert.
Quick, head east, northeast. That way.
We'll never make it past the searchlight.
You will if we create a diversion.
Oh, come on.
Oh, find them now!
Over here!
I should have known. A mass escape attempt with you as the ringleader.
It was all my idea. Please let Grandpa go.
This young chap had nothing to do with it. I claim full responsibility.
Oh, shut up! Do you know what this is?
Looks like a toasting fork.
It's a cattle prod.
Where'd you get that?
It was a birthday present.
That's a funny sort of birthday present.
That's what I asked for! It can knock a man out cold.
Torture is strictly forbidden on prisoners of war. You never dare use it.
Which one of you was responsible for dishing out the sleeping pills this afternoon?
Me, miss.
Miss Dandy shocks Nurse Rose with the cattle prod.
It's a chap!
Yes, hadn't you noticed?
No, and I've been caught out a few times before, come to think of it.
Get them! Go on! Come!
It worked!
Well done, Squad. He's a chap as well.
Recharge!
What should we do now?
Well, we've got to keep them away from the POWs.
Let go of my foot!
So, up here!
Clutching her cattle prod, Miss Dandy pursues Grandpa and Jack up some stairs.
Where now?
I haven't thought that far ahead.
They're cornered.
We're not giving up without a fight, Herr Commandant.
Commandant? I think you must have lost what remains of your tiny mind. The war was over 40 years ago. You're nothing
but a sad little old man.
Oh, sorry, but I really am bursting for the loo.
Jack hits Miss Dandy over the head with a jigsaw puzzle.
You're picking those up.
Yes, excuse me.
Miss Dandy slips on a rug and tumbles down the stairs.
She's out cold. We have to escape while we can.
We can't live without this rifle. How much longer are you going to be?
I can't go at all if you're listening in. Oh, there's only the cheap, scratchy paper.
Well, yeah, well, you'll have to make do, madam. There's a war on.
I'd leave it a few moments if I will.
Pardon me.
They spot two nurses at the foot of the stairs.
Why do you get the cricket there?
Come on, get over this.
There's no way out.
I've got an idea. Something Raj told me.
What?
That there's just one way out of here. This way.
Miss Dandy recovers from her fall, brushes herself down, and gets to her feet.
That's made me.
As she descends the stairs, Jack, Miss Trifle, and Grandpa enter the coffin room.
I've got a plan, but we need some wheels.
Wheels? I know just the place. You look after Miss Trifle.
Come out! Be rude.
A coffin's pushed to the top of some stairs.
Mission accomplished. Got the roller skates.
Now we have to attach them here and here.
Bolt the doors! No one escapes!
Hold! What did he say?
Stop!
The roller skates are tied to the coffin.
You see, for a good old-fashioned escape, you always need plenty of string.
I hope you're not going to ask me to sit in that coffin.
Oh, absolutely not, madam.
Thank goodness.
I'm ordering you.
Well, I'm doing it, but under duress.
You too, Wing Commander.
Hold on a second. I've left something under my mattress.
We don't have time.
I must have it.
So, is your grandfather single?
I think so. Why?
No reason.
What are you two nattering about?
Nothing.
Ready?
Oh, my goodness, it's a coffin toboggan!
It's a goffoggan!
Grandpa, Miss Trifle and Jack on board, the coffboggin smashes through the front door.
Ooh, can we do it again? Again?
Tempting, madam, but now's not the time.
Oh. Miss Dandy's cattle prod's broken.
Come on, what are you waiting for? Get up and chase them! Or do you want me to shock you into it?
She accidentally gives herself a shock and knocks herself out. Grandpa, Jack, and Miss Trifle rejoin the others by the wall.
You made it!
I don't know how we'll get over.
What are we going to do?
I'm sorry. I don't know. We're trapped.
What we really need is...
a ladder?
Yeah, that's right. Who said that?
Shelley!
All right, Wrigley's, over we come. Chop, chop, we ain't got all day.
Grandpa to Shelley.
I know you, don't I?
Shelley Bunting of the Women's Air Force Auxiliary Service reporting for duty, sir. I was missing in action, but I'm back now.
Good to have you here, Shelley. Very good indeed.
They share a hug.
Right, fine work, people, but we need to find a safe haven. So fall in and by the left. Quay! Come up! Left.
Marching in single file, the escapees head off along the road. Soon they're marching towards a village police station. Grandpa, at the head of the column, calls out an order.
We will report Miss Dandy to the authorities.
And have a nice cup of tea.
Perhaps the police would like a game of gin rummy.
This has been the most exciting night of my life.
Just doing my duty.
My hero.
Miss Trifle gives Grandpa a kiss. He looks a bit taken aback as Miss Trifle and the other residents make their way towards the station.
Back to base?
Actually, I'm feeling quite peckish.
Rogers will be open.
Anyone want a lift?
Oh. Wait, don't you have any proper music?
This is proper music.
I've got some Spandau Ballet.
Spandau Ballet?
Mr. Bunting, you escaped!
Of course we did. For king and country.
This is a cause for celebration. Take whatever you want. Anything at all.
Thank you.
Most kind.
That'll be £3.20.
Jack pays, then checks his watch.
Mum will be up soon. We better go home. I mean, to our quarters.
Well, absolutely not. The Luftwaffe could strike at any moment.
It's bedtime, Grandpa.
The Nazis won't be asleep. Get me to my Spitfire. I need to take to the skies.
Mr. Bunting, It would greatly help the war effort if you could put these spicy knickknacks on that shelf.
Of course, Quartermaster.
It's got worse. It's all my fault. I pretended the war was still on.
No, Jack. You've always been a wonderful grandson. The best.
Please. Please, can you get through to him?
Jack, I've known your grandfather for a long time. He's not a well man.
I know. He has a weak heart.
Then why not let him have one final flight?
Jack wipes away a tear.
This, please.
So, Wing Commander, let's get you to your plane.
Not before time.
Dazza and Shelley are waiting by Dazza's car.
Where next, lads?
War Museum, please.
I bought this record. Put it on the gramophone.
Shelley has her fingers in her ears as they drive off. Now they're pulling up outside the National War Museum.
Good job I'm an irresponsible teenager, otherwise I'd be telling you what a really bad idea this is.
We're only stealing a Spitfire. Nothing to worry about.
Jack uses a crowbar to break open a window, and once inside, he lets Grandpa in through the museum's main door. Grandpa and Jack are soon standing before the vintage Spitfire.
There's not been a single day I haven't dreamt of flying you again.
Grandpa turns the handle of a winch that lowers the fighter plane to the floor of the museum.
Ready, co-pilot?
You're taking me?
Of course. We're a team.
Having changed into Second World War flight uniforms, Grandpa and Jack step towards the Spitfire. Grandpa takes the lid off the toffee tin.
Just one thing missing.
It contains a medal, which he takes out and holds up.
This is for you, squadron leader.
This is yours. You can't give me this.
Nobody deserves it more than you do.
Thank you, sir.
Jack salutes, and Grandpa salutes back. In the cockpit of the Spitfire.
Canopy secure.
Check.
Propeller set to low.
Check.
Fuel gauge on full.
It's empty.
We're going to have to get out and push.
Dazza and Shelley help push the aircraft.
I'm so going to get grounded for this.
From Barry holding a clipboard and counting traffic cones placed across a road, to the Spitfire arriving at a petrol station. Grandpa picks up a pump and starts to fill the plane's fuel tank. Before long, he's pumped £1,000 worth of petrol into the Spitfire.
Damn it. Pay for that.
I don't think my Griffin savings account's quite that flush.
Well, we'll have to requisition the fuel. It's for the war effort. They'll understand.
It's a Spitfire. That's my Spitfire.
I think you better get back in the plane.
Yes, you're right there, squadron leader.
Code Spitfire in the garage, repeat! Code Spitfire in the garage!
The security guard scrambles from his car.
We've got to take off now!
Call the police! Call the 18! Stop that plane!
We need a clear runway.
They aren't going to make it.
Barry sees the plane approaching. He hurries to reposition the traffic cones, blocking cars and creating a runway for the Spitfire.
Plane coming through! Plane coming through! Stop!
Jack!
Don't make us go! Up and away!
Up and away!
Grandpa and Jack take to the skies in the Spitfire, soaring up through the clouds.
It's amazing!
Nothing better. Would you like to take the controls?
Really?
Why not? All yours, squadron leader.
Wow!
They've never made a plane quite like her. Do you want to take her for a loop-the-loop?
Can I?
Of course, like this.
They perform a perfect loop-the-loop.
Forever, Wing Commander. Just you and me.
What's to stop us?
Two RAF jets draw up alongside them.
Jerry's got a brand new plane, I say.
They want us to land.
We'll never surrender.
This is Harry Red Leader. You're in restricted airspace. Land or we will fire.
One of the jets fires a missile, which explodes near the Spitfire.
That was a warning shot. Land immediately or we'll shoot you down.
You won't catch me.
Grandpa, you have to listen to me. We're not at war with Germany anymore. They're British planes. We have to land now. I don't want us to be shot down.
Jack?
Yes?
My grandson?
That's right, Grandpa.
You've been wonderful to me, Jack. The best grandson there could be. You've got to bail out now.
What about you?
I haven't long left, Jack Dodger's ticker and all that. And up here, I'm the person I want to be. I don't want to be the person I am down there, not anymore.
I don't want you to die.
As long as you love me, Jack, I can never die.
I'll always love you. I don't want to leave you. I won't.
Sorry, squad leader. I'm pulling rank.
Grandpa flips the plane upside down, and Jack falls out. He parachutes downwards.
Up, up, and away.
He watches Grandpa fly off. 1 month later. A funeral service in a church. There's a coffin draped in a Union flag as Raj joins Jack and his family.
Jack, I'm so sorry for your loss.
Thank you, Raj.
But is it true they never found the plane or your grandfather?
Yes. It's an empty coffin. We don't know where he is.
He's looking down on us all, I'm sure.
Your father was always very proud of you, Mr. Bunting.
Me?
Said you were the finest corn counter there was.
Oh, Jack, I owe you an apology. I've researched your grandfather, and he did lead a team of brave young men in the Battle of Britain. That is a fact.
He was a hero.
He certainly was. Your grandpa would have saved thousands of lives on the ground.
Thank you, Miss Verity.
Yes. Well, I have also written up a questionnaire on the history of the church, so let's crack on with that. There's one for you there. If that's okay, just try and get your writing in
the line. The vicar.
Not many bums on seats today. The deceased can't have had too many friends.
Miss Trifle arrives with the other residents.
Oh, Lord. Oh, shuffle along. Oh, is that everyone now? Can we finally begin?
There should be a few others, actually.
Gentlemen, by the left, quick, march.
Elderly men wearing RAF berets march in.
I tracked them down to invite them.
Miss Verity gazes admiringly at the newcomers.
All these men served with Grandpa in the war. This is his squadron.
The men salute, and Jack's family go over to greet them.
Welcome. It's a great honour to have you here, gentlemen.
And you must come round to ours afterwards. I've laid on a lovely cold spread.
Come on.
And I'll have a range of musky body sprays on special.
Finally, we can begin. Music, maestro, please. Right. We are here to mourn the passing of someone very special. We are all going to miss insert name here very much. He was born in insert place here in the year, insert year here. I'm sure we all has lovely memories of him. And who could forget the time he insert heartwarming detail here to make it personal?
Jack realizes that the vicar and his assistants are actually Miss Dandy and her cronies in disguise.
Stop the funeral!
Oh, thank God for that.
He is Miss Dandy from Twilight Towers. Or she's him, they're the same person.
That's absurd!
He's a crook who forges wills.
He eats crackers, he is, he's crackers, just like his granddad.
And they're the nurses.
Nonsense! They deny it, don't you?
Deny it.
We were made to do it! I'll confess everything. I'm too pretty for prison.
You stole our jewellery! You drugged us!
You locked up the playing cards so we couldn't play strip poker!
Yeah, well, at least I know how to enjoy money! What's the point in having cash if you're all completely gaga, eh? Oh. I'll show you gaga!
Miss Trifle and the other old folk attack Miss Dandy and her cronies. They soon have them all restrained.
Get at me!
I have a very low pain threshold.
Yeah. Come soon!
Miss Dandy's disguise has slipped. She rips off her wig.
So what if I forced a few wills? So what if I posed as a vicar to lure the old people into the home? All I wanted was a holiday home in Mystique. Is that too much to ask?
Huh? Is church always this exciting? I'll have to come more often.
Police take Miss Dandy away in handcuffs.
I'll be back.
Very sorry.
She and her cronies are bundled into police cars. Meanwhile, Jack standing sadly in front of the coffin. He's joined by his family.
That was incredibly brave, Jack.
Me and your dad are very proud of you. And you, Shells.
Yeah. We'll let you say goodbye.
Barry and Patricia step away. Shelley gives Jack a kiss, then she too heads off. His eyes brimming with tears, Jack salutes his grandpa one last time. Now it's night time, and Jack's getting into his bed. From underneath the pillow, he takes the toffee tin and removes the medal from inside it. As he lies gazing at the medal, he hears something outside his window. He opens the window.
Grandpa!
And sees Grandpa's looping Spitfire silhouetted against the full moon.
I would see Grandpa every night, just at the time I was falling asleep. Now I have a child of my own. I tell her all about the adventures of my grandfather. And every night we see him too. Flying his Spitfire across the sky, he kept safe for us. Up, up and away. Grandpa was right. As long as you love someone, they can never die.